Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, also known as the Prayer Mentor of katelovingschenck.com and author of the Prayer Prescription Series. The Prayer Prescription Series is the sponsor of this show. My guest this evening is Michael Robin Collins. Michael is the author of Ushering in the Golden Age, Elevate Your Consciousness. Our topic this evening is when life gives you a second chance. Please join me in welcoming Michael Collins. Hello, Michael.
Good afternoon, Kate. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So tell us about your second chance. We are very excited to hear about this.
Well, last summer, I'd stepped on some staples, and when I got to the emergency room, I really have no recollection of it. And when I woke up really about 10 days later, because I was unconscious, most of the time, you know, my brothers and sisters told me that I was in intensive care. I had a feeding tube down me. And when I woke up, I was missing my left leg.
Oh, God.
From the knee down. And all of a sudden, as time went through, you know, I realized I would have to make a lot of adjustments in my life, in the activity and the constant movement of my life would have to change. And so the second chance comes with having a prosthetic, and thank God my mind is still very sharp. And I can continue to write and put my ideas down and express my ideas. And realizing that there is more to life than the physical body.
Right.
Nothing can destroy your spirit. And when you adjust and you go through the mourning, the loss of the leg, the depression, when you come back, the bottom line is what you're left with is this indomitable spirit that can take you through anything and get you through anything. And the realization that as long as you have life flowing through your veins, that you can create, you can do anything. It may take you a little bit longer to walk from point A to B, but you'll still get to point B.
So is that the real gift of the situation was to realize that the spirit does not die, will live forever in light of the physical, which is transitory and impermanent. But the spirit is permanent.
The spirit, the soul, is definitely permanent in that, you know, when it's time for it to leave the body just decays and goes to what we call death. But who we really are is in our soul. and when we realize that our soul will never die and that our soul will come back in other bodies at other times, and that the spirit that we bring, the energy, the spirit is energy, and the energy is based, you know, the primal energy is based on love. So when we get to the point of loving, we realize that that energy, nothing can destroy that. The only thing that can destroy it is when we choose to block it and focus in on negativity or the why is me or play the victim and become self-pitying. But when we really find our power in the moment-to-moment of what happens to us in life, we realize that we can master our ship and still bring joy and have joy in our heart and bring joy to other people.
And that's the only thing that matters, isn't it?
In the end, yes. In the end, what really matters is that this is all, it doesn't matter. Does something like losing my leg stop me from loving, stop me from having good feelings towards people? Or do, like I said, do I say, why is me, and become a prisoner of my own bitterness and self-destruction?
And I imagine the temptation is ever present in a situation like you found yourself to feel self-pity and be into a state of bitterness. But what was it, what kind of power within yourself allowed you to throw that off?
Well, you know, one of the most important things was that the kindness that was shown to me by friends, family, and even some strangers. And the kindness, the kind words really helped me get through the depression and the moment of feeling lost and anxiety and sitting in a wheelchair without a prosthetic and just wondering, you know, how am I going to adjust to life? How am I going to take a shower? How am I going to cook for myself? All the little things that we take for granted, all of a sudden you realize how sacred they are and how precious it is to have the ability to do this and be independent.
So asking for help, which you certainly have had to do, was part of your spiritual journey.
Yes, asking for help and also you know, just being able to receive it and realizing that, you know, no man is an island, no woman is an island, and that we need, you know, in moments we need help, we need touch, we need love. All these things are very important to buoy the psyche and keep us up above water.
And in reality, you're asking and people giving you the help. The people who are giving you the help are also playing out a very important part of their own soul journey, because we need to not only help, we need to be of service. We need to find the fountain of love that is always there and often is obstructed by so much that the physical world puts before us, and it is our challenge and actually our mission to overcome and triumph over these obstacles so that we can, in the end, just know only love.
Right. And the thing is, we're all one. And when people in your moment of adversity form bridges with you and send that love and the good words and the cards, you know, to know that you're important, and that if I'm not whole, then that makes me a weakened part of the whole system of billions of people. So the more that we can help make each other strong and work and give and form those bridges, the more powerful it is, and the more that we can come back, live our lives, and feel the love of the world, and also, using that love to continue living your purpose and living the purpose that we're here for. Taking a leg from me will not stop me from putting out my truth, putting out, you know, what I've written in my books. And so it's very important to realize that nothing can stop you from your purpose. The only thing that can hold you back, the only limitations you can put on yourself are the limitations of the mind. And when you realize that we are given this great gift called imagination, we can imagine the world as we want it to be, and we can find the joy and freedom in our attitude, in the way that we see life, in the way that we choose to walk the path of life.
I want to tell anybody who's tuning in that we are talking to Michael Robin Collins, and your webpage, Michael, is www.michaelrobincollins.com. That's Michael, as it's usually spelled, RobinCollins.com. Michael just went through, over the last year, a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual experience that I believe you were very spiritual to begin with anyway, Michael, but this must have put, when you talk about elevating your consciousness, which is the subtitle of your book, Ushering in the Golden Age, Elevate Your Consciousness, I would assume, how does it feel to elevate your consciousness even more than it's already been elevated?
Well, it's funny, you learn the things that you give credence to. So many of the things are so unimportant in life. The little things that, you know, the little idiosyncrasies, the things that we don't have, things not going your way and the harshness of words or thoughts that come into your mind, you realize that those are not important, that people are doing the best that they can, and we are all spiritually trying to evolve. And in that evolution, there are many lessons and different lessons that people have to go through in order to learn how to come to a loving state. Because in the end, self-realization and the realization of God consciousness is the most important purpose that we have on earth. And when we learn that, you know, we start to give up some of the neuroticism, some of the neurotic idiosyncrasies. We start to give up the fear, the worry, the guilt, and the doubt that we have in our world, and realize that our world is what we make it. And as we become an example to these principles, and when we become an example of love and kindness to everyone, and be kind, you know, random acts of kindness is a nice saying, but I say let's become conscious of our kindness and be conscious of this kindness moment to moment, so that we bring the kindness every moment in every situation, and we're aware of what we're doing. Because the more aware that we become, the more goodwill we're creating on the planet, and the more goodwill we're sending the people. Because as I was, you know, in the hospital in rehab, all I can tell you is that you realize how sometimes a kind word opens up the door for you.
Yes.
You know, I remember getting an email from a friend of mine, and she said, every adversity, there's a benefit at the end, a gift at the end, there's a silver lining at the end. And so I don't know the reason that this happened. I don't know why it happened. All I know is that I'm not going to allow it to limit me, and I'm not going to allow it to deter or derail me from living my purpose.
Right. I can see you writing something along the lines of, say, 50 to 100 ways that there's so many different ways that you won't allow this adversity to cloud your mission of love in this lifetime. You know, people love to read stories like this. This is so important because the resilience, what we're talking about here, Michael, is your resilient approach to this situation, how resiliency and bouncing back literally saves your life.
Yes, that's
Yes,
that's one of the most important aspects. And, you know, like I said, what's really important is touch, people touching your heart. And you know, me going into myself and realizing it's not the end of the world.
And it never will be.
No.
This bouncing back and the kindness that you speak of, the world is really in need of empathy, kindness, and compassion. And, of course, love is the ultimate reflection of those three things. But, of course, the Dalai Lama says that the only true religion is kindness. And I think we have to train ourselves to literally have moments of, you know, check-in, empathy moments where we check in and just let our hearts grow in empathy. And I would think humor is part of it, and kindness, acts of kindness throughout the day, every day, to, you know, like practicing kindness as a spiritual practice. Practicing kindness, I think, is one of the most important things we can do.
Right, because one of the things that's important is that we start to learn to eliminate judgment. Because we all have our own idiosyncrasies. And when we hold on to those idiosyncrasies, we lose all the considerations that goes into your life and another's life, and you create separation.
Mm-hmm.
That separation eliminates the mindset of the oneness of all people. When we realize that we're all one, that we all have a spark of the divine within us, and that we're here on earth to learn how to love. And learning how to love means giving up the neurotic tendencies, the insecurities, and realizing and step forth with the love. And kindness to another human being is a way that we can use our words and our actions to support and uplift. So then in the end, we can create a peaceful planet. So we can turn back to the God consciousness that we're all a part of. And when I say God consciousness, I'm not talking any religion. I'm talking that we all come from the same source. And we're all, we may be given different talents, but we all come from that same source, and that same source is the spark that allows us to live in our spirituality. It is the spark of our consciousness that tells us what is right and wrong. It's the it's the spark that when we hurt somebody or when we're hurt by somebody, we feel this withdrawal, this closing up of our system and the shutting down of our heart. And learning to love is learning how to stay open. And watch your words, and watch what you do, and be loving towards everyone. And as we say, kindness and compassion are some of the keystones to creating a psyche that's very healthy and that allows you to live in peace. Because in the end, what we want is peace of mind in creating the kingdom of heaven on earth. Because when we have that peace of mind and we walk without the fear, the doubt, the worry, and all the other anxieties associated with it, then our life becomes a place for joy and happiness. It becomes a place where our expression and our example sets the tone to help raise and uplift the vibrations. And we're not looking at where somebody's at or what level of spiritual evolvement we're at, but we're holding true to what we know. And by holding true to what we know, we become example to those concepts and precepts and way of life that uplifts the planet and brings light into corners of the world where there's darkness, where it brings peace and gives and words of kindness, gives joy and hope to people who feel the harshness of life.
Mm-hmm. It's so important to realize that it only really takes a few to do this sort of work to permeate the whole, because there's no way that everybody at this time will be practicing kindness. But for those who do, it really, really does bring light to those areas that need the light. You know, the whole idea of the consciousness scale that Hawkins talked about, where there are only a few people like who live on the Martin Luther King, the Jesus Christ, the other saints and holy apostles who are still bringing light into the world. This is why we haven't self-destructed, is because of this kind of vibration that constantly uplifts. But in order to bring kindness into the world, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to. It's a lot easier to be kind when you have enough sleep, when you have enough rest, when you eat good foods, when you're drinking enough water, and when you're getting your exercise. All these things make it 100% easier to bring forth the love that you can give to other people.
Yes, I agree with you. All those things are very important. But what I've also realized is that when you don't have those things and life seems to be, quote unquote, against you, to find kindness in that darkness, to find, you know, to take on the psyche that you, what's happening in your life is happening in your life. But when you really think about it, is there really any reason not to be kind to someone? You know, not being kind shows your anger, your jealousy, your rage. And, yeah, yes, when everything is ideal, of course it's easier to be kind. But when things are not ideal, to find that kindness and to go deep within, to find it and find those kind words and be supportive, to me, that's when you really start to make this transition and you really start to shift your consciousness. And when you shift it and you can find kindness in adversity, when you can find the kindness when the world seems to be against you or the deck is stacked against you, when you can find and remain kindness towards others in those moments, then I think you've really grasped the lesson and really are on the path of becoming a beacon to others and being that guiding light that can help others find their path. Because the greatest law is the law of vibration. And when you are vibrating at a higher level, everything around you feels that vibration. So by becoming an example of this kindness and finding this kindness in moments when it's easy to go off and curse somebody out, lose your temper, to find that kindness in that moment is a very special shift in consciousness. And really, you start to see the things that are important in life, that we're not going to be here forever. And we are here to learn how to love. And learning how to love means surrendering our ideas of negativity and surrendering our ideas that stop us from being kind and find the path that opens the door so that no matter what's happening in our life, nothing can disturb our kindness.
Well, that's a very point well taken, Michael. And we don't wait for circumstances to happen or for the climate to be perfect, for us to be kind or to be happy or to be loving. We just are. That's exactly what we're here to do. And there's nothing that should or could stand in the way of that. That's a very, very good point.
You know,
don't you agree that we do have to love ourselves? This is so important before we can really love another person.
Yeah, we have to love ourselves and we have to be kind to ourselves. We have to, you know, do all these things. You know, in my book, I had a chart called the Cousins of Love, which is basically the synonyms to the word love: compassion, empathy, so on and so on. It was a whole page of this. And the more we start to develop these characteristics in our lives, the more we start to evolve spiritually. It doesn't mean that we don't get anger, we don't feel depression in certain situations, but the thing is, we don't hold on to it. We let it go, we let it come and let it go, and we come back to the virtues or the characteristics that we want to carry in life, and we really learn to treat people the way we want to be treated and love people the way we want to be loved.
That's right. So you feel, you know, you were working on these principles before your illness, but do you feel like you have embodied these lessons more powerfully now than ever before?
I feel that there's a calmness that's come over me because, you know, when you are laying up and not even realizing that you have all these tubes in you. And I was told I was like 5 minutes away from death. Your whole perspective changes. The things that would worry you or worry me or would, you know, make me crazy or make me neurotic, they have less of an effect on me now. Because, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? I can make my transition and, you know, the next time I come back, bring back, you know, where I am with love and be open to loving and be conscious of that, you know, because right now I feel I'm planting the seeds and working to create the seeds in my life that, you know, as I live from lifetime to lifetime, these will be the foundations of the essence of who I am. And so in creating that and understanding that, hey, you know, when you die, when you die, your physical body dies. When you die, your spirit is always in the rooms and the places that you went. The love that you've brought to people, the joy that you've shared, the kindness of your words are what people remember you by. And that never dies.
Right.
People will tell stories about how they remember the good times they've had with you, the good times that they shared. And the more that we have these things, it's the more camaraderie, it's more the brotherhood and sisterhood of love that we're learning to build as we learn how to love.
Yes. It's so true. So I believe that you have been spared for a very important reason. Do you feel like you have a mission now that has been strengthened by this experience?
Well, all I can say is I've been told, you know, you realize that your time here is not forever. And when you are here, it's important to live your purpose and put your ideas out and bring things together that you feel will help the world. And so I'm realizing that, you know, my time is short So I need to really work on, you know, I'm working on two other books right now. I'm working on, you know, getting ready to do some speaking engagements, to do workshops. So I'm forming the foundation of the work that I was doing. But now there's a sense of urgency to get this message out and show people and give people tools that may help them change their lives. If they're willing to listen and embrace what I'm saying, and what I'm saying is basically just follow your heart and find the love in your heart and realize that love is God and God is love and you are synonymous with that. And so to get people to realize that and the power that they have just by creating love, they come more into their godliness and then can walk a path and create more inner peace. Because when you free yourself from all the things, when you free yourself from all the situations where maybe you didn't do the right thing, where you didn't treat people properly, when you free yourself from those mistakes and that missing the mark, you walk with a different type of freedom. You walk with a freedom that is free of the anxiety, and you really start to come into your own peace of mind, and you really start to create heaven on earth for yourself.
Now, you talked about judgment as being one of the most important obstacles to the experience of love. What practical advice can you give people to rid themselves of judgment towards other people, towards themselves, towards the world?
Well, the first thing that I would advise people is you do not understand and you don't have the mechanisms to consider all the experiences that another person has gone through. And so like the statement says, until you walk in somebody else's shoes, you cannot judge them. And there's like a myriad of experiences, things that were said that affect and shape a person's life. So what I would say is, instead of being critical and realize that people are brought up in different cultures, different classes, different races, and the bottom line is when you look at the spirituality of all these different cultures, they all come back to the God-given powers and the powers of the mystery. When we start to realize that those God-given powers, we realize the power of love. So instead of judging someone, let's love them. And one of the most important things that I have found and the occasions that I've practiced this is when you practice hug therapy with another individual. Mm. When you start to practice hug therapy and you just hold someone without any other judgments and just hold them, what it does is it helps you melt your scars and it helps them melt their scars and all the barriers that have been blocking their life, blocking your thought process, and keeping them in self-doubt and low self-esteem. The power of the hug and the power of the touch really works wonders to help people shift their consciousness. And unfortunately, we don't do enough of just hugging and just holding someone for 15 minutes, an hour, four hours, 8 hours, because when you do that, automatically then you start to see the transformation within yourself and you see the transformation in the person. You know, we're giving very powerful tools of nurturing, and just by nurturing and being nurtured, saying kind words, you can really help shift a person's life. Mm-hmm. When I talk about hugging and touch, I'm not really talking about the sexual act. I'm talking about just holding someone holding someone as a human being and realizing all the pain and the harshness that life puts us through as we go through life, learning, trying to learn how to love. And as we go through life with situations that are very painful, and we are met with so many non-love feelings that we doubt ourselves, we have fear of life, we worry about all the little things, we become insecure about the way we look and everything. But when you just hug somebody, it's like giving this feeling of acceptance that really, really works just as powerful as a kind word, maybe even mm-hmm. more powerful. And when combined with a kind word, it really bolsters the ego of both people.
You know, when a newborn baby breastfeeds, there is the hormone oxytocin that is released. And that same hormone is released when you give somebody a hug. So
right.
there's that feeling of safety, that feeling of bonding, that feeling of, you know, melding with somebody, and that there's such a peace that emanates from that experience that nothing can really make it destroy it. Nothing can destroy that peace and that safety, because there's such a strong oxytocin is a very strong hormone that is released in both of those acts of breastfeeding and hugging. I think that's fascinating.
Right. Well, I think it's really power, you know, it's the power of love
mm-hmm.
and the power
mm-hmm.
to nurture. And when
And,
you know, literally we have that power in our hands and we can give it very freely. And, you know, it works wonders when you see the transformation that a person will go through just by experience hugs. And I mean, you know, to hug somebody for 8 hours, you just see incredible transformation. You see tears,
mm-hmm.
you see laughter, you hear laughter, because it's such a release of all the pent-up frustrations and all the pent-up pain. And the hug lets them know that you're cared for. And just like
mm-hmm.
you said, oxytocin is the love hormone. And so when we do things to release that hormone, again, we're creating a vibration in the world that is so powerful. You know, one of the things that I read, which I thought was very interesting, and it talked about breast cancer in women. And they said, you know, a lot of breast cancer is caused by women who want to give love but don't have the mechanism to give love, or they always have to shut themselves off.
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age where breast cancer has become so common, and when you look at relationships and people looking for relationships and searching for relationships and doing everything for a relationship, it shows that they're really, what's underneath that? They're looking for love. And
right.
in our world, we have not educated ourselves on how to find love and express love. And so this is another example of how just not loving affects the body. And we all know about the experiment in Russia where there was a group of babies that was hugged, breastfed, nurtured, and there's another group that was not hugged, not touched, and neglected, and all those babies in that study died.
Yeah.
And so when we, without the judgment, when we take into consideration what this is saying, it's saying that we need to love. We need to hug. We need to have human contact with other people. We need to be supportive and be able to wrap ourselves around other people and wrap our emotions so that, because I don't like the word emotions, because I think emotions means, you know, it's the feelings that go away from the heart. When we find the motion that takes us back into the heart, when we find the motion that takes us back into love, then we start to create the dynamics. And hugging and touching is a great expression. It's a great success, expression of gratitude, of thankfulness. It's the sacredness of love. It's the trust and the honesty to make yourself vulnerable so that you can experience and open up and allow those scars and pent-up emotions to start to heal, start to dissolve and evaporate so that we can make more room for more love, more kindness. So that really becomes the consciousness that we live by, and the consciousness that we project out into the world, and the consciousness we bring to the other people, so that we become a beacon of light that shines and helps lights the path so people don't have to go through the harshness of the world so much and can find more joy, more freedom, and as Led Zeppelin says, find the stairway to heaven.
Great. Well, we have actually come to the end of our time together. For those who are will be listening in the future or who are still listening, you can reach Michael on his website, www.michaelrobincollins.com, michaelrobincollins.com. Thank you so much, Michael. I really, really appreciate talking with you. And it's been very meditative and relaxing and calming for me. And for I just received a text message from somebody who was listening and was very, very empowered by what you said. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
My pleasure. And I hope to speak with you very soon.
That sounds good to me.
And take care of yourself.
You too.
Love to you.
Love to you, and good night, and give love to Tom.
I will. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.